Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I'm delighted to be speaking to the Managing Director of Impact Minerals, Dr. Mike Jones. ASX code is IPT. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Kerry, and great to be here and give everyone an update.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Now, you've had quite a lot of news over the past 6 months. Could you just give an update to our investors about what Impact's been doing, because there's a lot of news that's been happening, and there's a lot to come.
For sure. Yeah, thanks, Kerry. Look, I have to say, at the end of 2019, which was a kind of an interesting year, we'd had really 12 to sort of 15 months of almost a horror show in the junior sector. Share prices really just not responding, you know, at all to good news, and it was probably one of the worst times that that I've seen in my career as an MD. And then towards the end of the year, things sort of started to pick up, especially being driven by the gold price, and we saw a bit of a turnaround. And that's one thing we've seen over the years: these turnarounds can happen almost overnight, you know, both up and down. The tap turns on and the tap turns off. And so towards the end of last year, gold was sort of running, and we had a plan to get into small-scale production in Queensland, and we've been working towards that for about 18 months, and we're very excited about where we were going. Unfortunately, right at the last minute, we had a deal to sort of renegotiate with a prospect who had some ground there that we had an option over, and we just couldn't make him see sense. And so unfortunately, that deal fell over. So we sort of ended the year whilst things were picking up, you know, all beaten about, and it was just, oh my God, what are we going to do next? Because there hadn't really been a lot of interest in our other two big projects that we'd been focused on over the last 3 or 4 years, which is Broken Hill, principally for the high-grade platinum group metals that we have there, and then also the Commonwealth project in central New South Wales, in the Lachlan Fold Belt, well known for its gold-copper discoveries. And so we realised we needed to bring those two things forward, and we had a bit of good luck at the start of the year for two reasons. First was that the palladium price started to run and to record levels, and basically we got the highest palladium grades ever reported, I think, in a drill hole in Australia, to our knowledge, at Broken Hill. So we managed to run, you know, quite well on the back of that. And then in the background, also around the Commonwealth project, of course, is one of the great discoveries we've had recently by Alkane Resources, which was the Boda copper gold discovery, very similar to Cadia. And that's driven a huge amount of interest in the Lachlan Fold Belt. And again, we're one of the largest sort of landholders in that in that region. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and you often don't get a lot of luck in this game, and we have a lot of interest in the stock. And that's helped push Impact back into a bit of the limelight there for a while, which is always a good place to be. Then, of course, obviously COVID, et cetera, et cetera. But the boom that we've had since has just been quite astonishing. I mean, I mentioned that, you know, the 18 months leading up to the end of 2019, one of the worst that I'd seen. Well, the last 3 months have been some of the best that we've ever seen, you know. And right now it's just on for one and all. You know, shares moving on, going up on a capital raise and going up on announcing a drill program. So I think it's fantastic. People have made a great deal of money. There's been some fantastic discoveries, some really great stories, this year. And so, things are buzzing along, and we're being lifted by that. And in particular, because we're delivering good results, you know, from those two projects, which I'm happy to talk about. So that's really just sort of, you know, put the whole thing in a bit of context and see where we're going. Question is, how long is it going to last? Well, hopefully it'll last longer than the drill program at Broken Hill, which will be starting about the end of this month. So yeah, that's where we go.
Let's talk about the drill program, excuse me, at Broken Hill, and what your intentions are there. That's in a couple of weeks, and there's some interest around that as well. So let's talk to our audience about that.
Yeah, nice. Broken Hill is obviously world famous for its silver lead zinc mine and sort of 300 million tonne plus sulphide ore body there. But it's less well known that there are these numerous high-grade platinum, palladium occurrences. And they've also been known about since not long after Broken Hill itself was discovered. And but they've also been known as being of exceptional grade. And there's another unusual thing about them, which is what attracted me to them in the first place, is that platinum and palladium are part of the six platinum group elements or platinum group metals, which includes osmium, ruthenium, rhodium, and iridium. And those are rare PGMs. The markets for them are fairly tight and a bit opaque. But this Broken Hill is known for having very high grades of all four, together with platinum and palladium. And then, as it turns out, gold and silver associated with it. Now, that metal assemblage in a PGE environment is exceptionally rare. And that's what attracted me to it in the first place, because in principle, it tells you that something very special happened deep in the Earth's, you know, core and mantle that allowed all of these six PGEs to come up relatively in relative even proportions. Most deposits around the world, it's, you know, you get a differentiation, you get more of one or two or three of them, and then in other ones you get the other two or three. Very rare to see all six, never mind gold and silver with it, you know, in the same deposit. So look, we've always been fascinated by that, and we've done a lot of research in the last 5 years since we took on the 6 years since we took on the project. And we've demonstrated that the source of these things is very deep, the core mantle boundary. It's come up very fast.
Sorry to interrupt, Mike. How deep are we talking? Because that does have it.
Well, now you're going to test my knowledge of the Earth.
How deep do you think this deposit is?
Probably about 1,500 to 1,800 kilometres down, and is where they where these things would have been sourced from, at least. So fairly deep. And all my nickel film friends will be calling me up saying, you overestimated that or something like that. But they're very special rocks. And we delivered some exceptional grades in our drilling. We weren't the first ones to do it in a couple of prospects, but at our Red Hill prospect, we first made a significant discovery there. And we produced 1.2 metres of 10 ounces of palladium, 10 grams of platinum, 10 grams of gold. I think it was about 20 grams of the four other PGEs. It was half an ounce of silver and 7% nickel and 2% copper. So it's an ore that's worth well over $10,000 a ton. It's amazing material. Anyway, the question that we have to answer now is there tons to go along with that grade? And that's what we're going to go and test now in this next drill program. So we're drilling two key prospects in the first instance: Red Hill, where we had the high grade discovery, and in Platinum Springs, where we've also got a narrow intercept, about 60 centimeters. But again, that's 7% copper, 7% nickel, about 25 to 30 grams combined palladium and platinum plus gold, and then another 5 or 6 grams of these other, rare PGEs. So we don't need a lot of tons to add to that grade. But along with that comes the tricky part is that if they are relatively small, they're just a bit more difficult to drill out. And so our drill program is very much planned around trying to drill out these sort of chutes and some of these narrow zones where these things are, and see if we can track them at depth, see if they open out and turn into something into something much bigger. Hopefully, something that's world class. But the third target we're going to test is the Little Broken Hill gabbro, as we call it. That's a very large magmatic body. It's full of iron and magnesium-rich minerals. A gabbro is a very common host for nickel, copper, platinum group metal deposits. Again, we've done a lot of work on that, and that is part of an intrusion that's or a body that's about 6 or 7 kilometres long in total, and has a lot of similarities to deposits like Voisey's Bay, which most of you readers would have heard about, a world-class nickel-copper mine in Canada, discovered by Robert Freeland, and then also the world-famous Jinshuan nickel-copper PGE deposit in China. And so some of the work that we've done at Broken Hill actually demonstrates that this body that we're going to test, Little Broken Hill gabbro, was actually very close to Jinshuan 800 million years ago, when plate tectonics, and we had a different configuration of the plates on the Earth's surface. So back in those days, Jinshuan and Broken Hill were very close together, within, you know, several hundred kilometres. And as that broke up, just due to the normal plate tectonics most readers and listeners will be familiar with, as it broke up, that's when the nickel-copper PGE came in. So we're sitting in the right setting, geological setting. We've got all the right rocks. We've got all the right pre-indicators that we look for. And so we can't do much more than go and drill it. And so that's the plan.
So in terms of the drill program, how long do you estimate the drill program to take? Look,
we've got, depending on ground conditions and results and things, we should be doing somewhere between 8,000 and 8,000 plus metres. A fair bit of that's air core over like Little Broken Hill Gabbro. We've identified quite a large target area. So we're just going to do that with 50 to 60 metre drill holes and just pepper it and see if we can pick up some patterns to track. And then there'll be another 2,000 metres each then at Red Hill and Platinum Springs, specifically designed to follow up on the high-grade results that we've had in our previous drilling. So we should be on the ground for about a six-week period. Everything is on, even today we spoke to the drillers, everything's on schedule. We'll be up and running before the end of July, which is great news, because that's only, so we'll be drilling within 2 weeks, hopefully, and then go for 6 weeks, and then obviously, results to follow on from that. So, yeah.
That's quite a detailed program that's coming up. Are you focusing just on that for the moment? Because of course you've got Commonwealth in the Lachlan Fold Belt, and that's been in the news a little bit lately. Lachlan Fold's getting quite a lot of attention. Where does that sit in your program for this year?
Yeah, look, we've been following up. Obviously after the Boda discovery, and we have ground like immediately along trend, and we actually have the southern extension, the very southern tip of the magnetic body that is host to the mineralisation further up, but about 3.5 km north of our boundary. And then we can sort of track that zone in and out of our boundary down for about another 15-20 kilometres. So we've been able to move that forward quite successfully at relatively cheap costs whilst getting focused on the drill program. We've flown a detailed airborne magnetic survey, which has completely changed our understanding of the area, looking at how magnetic the rocks are, so we can put together a better geological map and put everything into better context. And then just last week, we finished a significant soil sampling, soil geochemistry program. We've put about 700 soil samples into the lab, and those results will be coming through. So that target area, which we call Apsley, has numerous rock chip samples from it, which amazingly enough contain native copper sulfide, as well as copper oxide, and copper carbonates, which are the weathered equivalents, at surface over quite an extended area, which has never been drilled. There's an area south of Wellington that's about 10 to 15 kilometres of strike extent. We've got some of the ground. Sultan Resources, they've got the ground immediately to the south of us. They've also come up with some significant anomalies. And incredibly, no drilling. It's just, it's remarkable. It's, given everyone talks about, the Lachlan Fold Belt being well explored. But I guess the thing about porphyry coppers is that they're difficult for juniors to explore unless you get lucky, because they're often big, deep, expensive, diamond holes required to kind of sort them out. So you generally run out of money before you can get an answer. And so the great thing for Alkane, their discovery, I mean, one thing I always like to point out about the Boda discovery is that the first hole went into the Boda Kaiser area, which is sort of parts of the same system, in basically 1969. So it's taken 50 years, because the discovery hole was last year, to actually thread the eye of the needle and actually find the high-grade core that all of this is part of. And it just goes to show that, and there's the whole area is peppered with deep drill holes and things like that. But this was the deepest drill hole in the area, and boom, they hit the good times. And then all of a sudden, all these brokers who've heard boring stories about porphyry coppers for 30 years since Cadia, and no one's ever found one since, all of a sudden everyone's interested. So and again, great for the sector. There's been some good emerging discoveries immediately adjacent to us. Rarex, ASX listed their joint venture with Kincora from Canada. They're getting some pretty intriguing results. And then Magmatic, who is sort of between us and Alkane, they're starting to get some significant sniffs, as well. So a lot of attention on that area. So we had five priority areas. We've done rock chip sampling on four, all of which have come back with encouraging results. We've done soil sampling on one. I'm pretty sure we're going to get drill targets out of that, and that'll give us impetus then to do soil sampling and sort of work up the other ones as well. So the plan would be that, go to Broken Hill, get magnificent results there, and then roll on to drilling a Commonwealth later in the year, basically.
So the plan is, get your drill program, do the 6 weeks at Broken Hill, start to get those results back, and while that's happening, go out to Commonwealth and start some drilling there as well?
Timing on the drilling is a different thing. We've got to get the soil results back, sort of interpret the magnetics and work out where we want to drill.
Yeah.
Often with porphyry coppers, you're better off doing some ground geophysics first and particular electrical techniques. Listeners would have heard about IP-induced polarization used very extensively for the disseminated sulfide style that you get for the copper gold, the porphyry copper gold deposits. And so we probably end up, once we've highlighted some areas, do some geophysics, identify the depth, and then put together a drill program that, hopefully is going to, find the porphyry somewhere in there.
I think the most interesting thing, in talking to you, Mike, is, and I hope that people out there understand, is, a lot of people don't understand that mining isn't just go out, ping, there it is. It does take a lot of mapping and understanding of the geographical structures that you've got around there. And, it's not something that happens overnight.
No, that's absolutely right. And often it's the, not even the first or second company, that's the third, fourth or fifth company that can benefit, coming into an area. They finally put everything together. There's enough money and, previous data there to be able to say, this is perhaps the story, and now we can, make the discovery, and probably a good example of that as a brilliant segue is the Julimar discovery of Chalice.
So we're going over to just so for people that don't know, we're leaving New South Wales now. We're going to go across to Western Australia because Mike's been over there, and Chalice Gold Mines actually found quite a large nickel discovery over there, I believe, and you are
That's right. Is that right? Sorry, say that again.
You're fairly close by.
That, exactly right. So, and it's an example. So, there's a prospect, Julimar, just north of Perth. So, he's probably 70 kilometres north of Perth, and myself and many famous nickel geologists, well more famous than I am, have driven past that hill for many years over the decades, and it was always known to be sniffs of sort of PGEs and stuff around there. But Chalice, to their credit, did a great targeting exercise, picked the ground up, and they've identified basically a feeder zone, because this is one of the trendy things at the moment in nickel copper exploration is that a lot of nickel copper occurs at the bases of large lateral bodies of magma, and the nickel copper sort of dropped out. But it's now been quite trendy to sort of look for the feeder zones where these things are, because there's a big change in chemical gradients and pressure gradients through there. So you often get the nickel in these feeder zones. They're a lot more difficult to find, but they're often very high grade. And this appears to be what Chalice have found. In an area that's been, well looked over the years, not a lot of drilling, but literally, on the side of the road as you head out towards some of the nickel fields of the rest of WA. So, an extraordinary find in that, in that respect. And that's also led to, a rush of pegging here in WA for the same, for the same thing.
So did you guys rush out at, did you see what Chalice were doing, and did you say, right, let's peg some ground over there, or did you already have the ground?
Well, the immediate ground around Chalice, they picked that up themselves before they made an announcement, of course, and then, the minute it was announced, a lot of stuff was being pegged. And we had our hands kind of full, but an ex-colleague of mine brought to our attention a little bit further afield, about 150 k's away, some interesting regional anomalies in nickel and copper. And also, when we looked at the magnetic data and the gravity data from the regional West Australian Geological Survey data, there were some real indications that there might be an intrusion or set of intrusions like that. And so we staked that ground. I did want to call it the Julimar Far East Project, but it was a little bit too far east to call that. So that's our Arkin project.
Let me just say to you, why would you not just stay focused on what you've got in New South Wales with because, you know, you've got your hands full, you've got Broken Hill and you've got Commonwealth and a lot of work to be done there. So why the addition of Western Australia?
Look, I think it was an opportunity that came up in a red hot exploration area. And look, part of my philosophy, which is why we're in Broken Hill and while we're in the Lachlan Fold Belt, was based on my time in the project generation team at Western Mining Corporation many years ago now. You can't beat having a large ground holding in very well mineralized belts. If you hold out long enough and you've got enough ground, you'll find something, whether it's by yourself or with a joint venture partner. That's really the core of what you try and of what we try and do. Every now and again, you get an opportunity to kind of do the same thing, almost being a first mover, into certain areas with new concepts. And we've done a bit of that in our time in various places, but again, ran out of time and money and luck before we could sort of follow through. So Arkin was one of those possible opportunities there. And whether we do a lot of that, ourselves or look for a partner at the appropriate time, we'll just play that by ear as we go. But what was of interest was that we'd staked the ground, we put all together the announcement, we announced on a Friday, only a few weeks ago now, that we'd staked this ground, and at 1:15 that afternoon, Anglo American Corporation, one of the world's top 10 mining corporations, they staked 10,000 square kilometres all around us.
Wow.
And so I think we would have precipitated the movement. They were sort of thinking about it, and then it was just like we made the announcement and they probably thought we're going to lose a lot of ground here unless we act. And so they staked this enormous, it's probably the single largest ground holding, by a mining company. Maybe some of the iron ore companies might have, something similar, but it's the single, for most of the states, the single largest ground holding of any company in WA. And it's specifically for nickel, copper, PGEs. So our move there was, sort of justified, kind of on the day, really. So we'll just see what happens there. The Julimar is still, still evolving. So maybe we'll look for a joint venture partner. But Arkin won't be granted for another 6 months. So there's plenty of time to move it forward.
Okay. All right. So for the moment, we're looking at Broken Hill being first cab off the rank, so to speak, and then some news coming out of Commonwealth. Mike, what would you say to people that are listening to you right now about the future for Impact from an investment point of view?
Look, we're entering a very exciting time. We all know it's a drill program. I've been around long enough to never overpromise at the start of a drill program. Follow us. If we hit what we're looking for, it will be high grade. And the market is certainly running on high grades right now. We've got some pretty focused targets for the high grade, and the sleeper is Little Broken Hill Gabbro. That'll probably take a couple of rounds of drilling to tidy that up. But we've got a real chance there of offering something significant on that third target. So the next month, 2 months really, we're very excited for Broken Hill, and with or without that, we'll serve very good news flow right through to the end of the year. I'm waiting on my travel exemption right now, so I can leave the state to go to the drill program. I'm going to take one for the team and do the 2 weeks quarantine on the way back. And so I'm hoping I can get the exemption to head out there later this week or early next week to be there for the drill program. So exciting.
Yeah, it's we live in interesting times, as they say, so I hope you do get that exemption. I'm not sure if you're coming the other way because Mike's over in Perth. I'm not sure if you're going New South Wales to Western Australia, it would be the same. I think Western Australia is going, no, you can all keep out for the moment.
I know. And whilst, easy to sort of raise your eyebrows a little bit. You know, it is not looking that good in Sydney right now. You know, so they've got a very crucial week ahead of them it's escaped over the border from Victoria, and I do hope that they can get it under control.
We live in very interesting times.
Yeah. So.
So Mike Jones, Managing Director of Impact Minerals. Thank you, ASX code IPT. Thanks for talking to Small Caps today, and we'll come back to you in a couple of months and see how things are progressing.
That's great, Carrie. Thanks for your interest, and we'll speak again. Bye.